do encourage you, always bring your Bibles, because you just never know when the overheads might not work. Amen. Pastor Scott ordered the part last week, and so he says. It's not here yet, because it's delayed at the post office. That's what Pastor Scott says. It's delayed. That's probably, Cheryl works there. That's not true, Cheryl. I think Pastor Scott's pulling. He did order it? She's telling, maybe he's telling the truth. All right. But anyways, if you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the highlight of our week right here. And we're blessed to have the Word of God. It's our answer. It's our help. You know, anything that you're facing or going through, God has your answer. Amen. It's just that simple. He's not confused about the problem. He's not nervous about it. He's not wondering how to fix it. He's not overwhelmed or fretting. He's got the answer. Amen. His throne represents grace and mercy, but it also represents authority. It represents strength. It represents a sound mind. It represents wisdom. And, you know, if more people just turn to Him and run to Him, things would be different. Praise God. And so we love Him. We're excited for the Word today. Let's pray and believe Him for the utterance that we need to hear. Father, help us this morning. We're not here to hear man's plans, man's ideas, man's philosophies, man's theories, or man's opinions. We want heaven this morning. And Father, the Bible already tells us that we don't think like You all the time, and we don't act like You or do things the way that You would do things. So Father, we need You. We don't need our own ways. We don't need our own plans. So Father, I know that You work through people, and I'm a human being, but Father, we see that that's how You do it on the earth. You speak through Your human vessels. And so Father, I'm here this morning. Use me. May my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer, just like the psalmist of old said. And may I speak as the oracles of God this morning, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but rest in the power of God. And Father, Your power will be on display here this morning. And what I mean by that is, Father, in this message, I'm going to say things that are going to hit bullseyes in the hearts of every hearer here this morning. I'm going to say things that I wouldn't have known to say unless You put them in my heart to say them. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them that You love them, that You care for them, that You have a better tomorrow for them, and that, Father, that Family Church South Dayton is a safe place where they can come and actually hear from heaven. And so, Father, we thank You for the utterance we need this morning. We thank You for the change that will take place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is part 3 of our love series. And, of course, I wasn't here last week. Spent the time with the family, you know, get a little break. Spent all day Saturday and Sunday with my 10-year-old and 7-year-old. And then when Monday came around, I needed another break. That's just the truth. They said, we're going to take advantage of this. We got him for 2 days. We normally don't get him on the weekend. He's ours. And let me tell you, they got me. And so, but I wasn't here, so we need to do a little bit review. But I'm really excited for where we're going in this series, because this love topic, it's not just to be feeling ooey-gooey and mushy and just, oh, God is love. Yeah, we know that. We're to love. No, love is the umbrella. And everything else falls under the umbrella of love. And, you know, if the umbrella's not up, you know, and in place, you're going to get wet in the wrong way, you know. And so we want to make sure that we have this in place. And thank God we don't have to figure it out on our own. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and if you don't have your Bible, I'll read this here, but you can just follow along with us. But it says, be therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. So the Bible tells us right off the bat, remember what we said in the beginning, copycat the one who's never missed it. Amen. God is perfection. He's the answer. Just do like He does, you know. A lot of times when I meet with people, you know, I watch cooking shows. You ever watch the cooking show Chopped? I mean, oh man, they just throw these 4 people in the fire. They give them ingredients that I have never even heard of, yet alone can't pronounce. And I was like, wait, you're going to eat that? You're going to make that into, I mean, they come out with these dessert things. I'm like, what in the world? But they use terms like, we're going to reduce this down. And really, a lot of times when people's problems that I'll be meeting with them, really, if you want to get right to the root of it and boil it down or reduce it down to the bare bones, a lot of times it's just people are not imitating God. What do I mean like that? They're thinking wrong. They're not thinking like Him. They're not talking like him, and they're not acting like him. Well, when you don't talk, think, and act like God, you don't get God results. And God results are perfection. God results are victory. God's results are triumph. And so we want to follow him, and it tells us specifically how to do that. It says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And so the Bible tells you to walk in love. Well, if you walk in love, you would be imitating God, because 1 John tells us that God is love. Amen. And so the Bible says that we can't imitate him. We can't be like him if we're outside the boundaries of this word love. And then we saw in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, I'm just going to go there real quick. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 says this love never fails. Well, think about it. If God is love, God's never failed. That force that God operates from is the force of love. It's the force that would fix all problems. The majority of these world problems that are seem impossible, racism, right? We talk about racism. Racism's fixed by the God's love. If both sides would act in God's love, the problem's gone. There's no more problem. It's over. That's how powerful love is. There's nothing else that can fix that. But love can fix it. It's a powerful force that it never fails, the Bible says. Now, here's the thing. Why I'm reviewing this is for a couple reasons. Number one, it's good to hear it over and over. But you need to get a revelation and a realization, a branding in you that I cannot go without this. That this is not optional for me. If you want to be, if your healing is optional to you, if your children staying blessed, if your finances and provision is optional, if things working out for you and the favor of God is optional to you, then the love message is optional. But if those things are not optional to you, then love cannot be optional. Why? It's the force that God flows from. It's the miracle working force. Remember in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, you know, we're a faith church. We talk about how God comes in on our faith with his power. God's always available, but God needs a, just like the oil and gas is always in the ground, but until you stick a pipe down in that ground, you don't withdraw that resource. You don't withdraw that power. It's always there. It's always available. It's always ready to be used. God's power is always available and ready to be used, but until somebody sticks a pipe into that and gets that to flow, right? And Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are you saved. God's power, his mercy, saved you, but it came through faith. His grace and mercy is his part. Your part is faith. Your part is the pipeline. And so God flows through that. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says that your faith, the very thing that God flows on, is powered or activated or energized by love. Love never fails. Love is the miracle flow. You need a miracle flow in your life. It won't happen apart from love. You need that situation to change. You so desperately, the devil's on your case, the world's against you, and you need the power of God. The power of God does not flow in an atmosphere where love is not. Because why? Faith is where God flows, and faith is non-existent without love. It's not powered. It's not working. And so we can't afford to go without this love. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1 that Paul, he talked about the importance of love. In chapter 12, verse 31, he said it was the more excellent way. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, he talked about how you can do nothing without love. In verse 8, then he says love never fails. And then in chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, now follow after, eagerly pursue, seek to acquire this. Make it your aim, your great quest. Those are not words that just say, well, if you get around to it, or if it's convenient, or if you feel like it. No, he said, eagerly desire, pursue, seek, make it your aim, make it your conquest. Praise God, make it your quest in life. Why? Because without love, you take away God's power, and we need God's power. Hallelujah. And so we saw in the service, the last service that I was here, we saw that love is the target. But we saw that on a target, there's lots of places you can hit on a target. You know, when we go out and put a target up at the range, for my kids to shoot, you know, there's a circle, and then there's lines within the circle, and there's a dot in the middle, and there's things on the outside and on the left. Or when I shoot my archery target, you know, there's a bullseye center, but there's other places you can hit on that target. And with love, it's a big target. You know, we talked about the different words used for love in the Bible. There's eros love, there's storge love, and there's phileo love. And each one of those Greek words have a different meaning of love. And so there's different points of love that you can hit on that target, but there's only one bullseye. And the bullseye that talks about that love never fails, and that without this kind of love you can do nothing, and the love that powers your faith, and the love that God is the Greek word agape. And agape love is the love that we need to walk in. We're not trying, storge love, phileo love, and eros love are not miracle flows of love. The agape God kind of love that he is the miracle flow. That's the bullseye we need to hit. And then in John chapter 13 and verse 34, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but in John 13 verse 34, and I'll let you know when we're flipping into gear here to get into the new part of the series here. This is just review, but you need to understand, this is not optional. It's not optional if I want to be successful and victorious. Jesus said a new commandment. I love the wording he used. He didn't mince words. In his mind, he says, I'm commanding you to do it. That means do it. Well, he's using harsh language like that, or strong language, I should say, because he wants us to understand how important it is. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, that word love one another is basically saying that you walk in love towards one another. It's not eros, storge, or phileo. He says that you agape love one another. Now, I'm thankful that Jesus is my ultimate example. He says that you love one another as I have loved you. So you say, what is that agape love? Because human beings, you know, if you take a go into the mall and ask a crowd of people, what is love? Everybody's going to have a different answer. And you could think, Lord, you've commanded me to walk in love. You said that this kind of love powers my faith. You said that this is the miracle working flow that never fails. What does it look like? It looks like Jesus. Well, what was Jesus' love? A selfless love. What was Jesus' love? An unconditional love. It wasn't, I'll do good for you if you do good for me. It was, I'm going to do something good for you just because I love you. And we saw that the main characteristic of this love that trips people up, and the reason why people don't walk in this love, is because so many people are mental and feeling associated. They are governed by their thoughts, and they are governed by their flesh. And God doesn't govern us that way. He governs us by the Spirit of God. And so many people, their flesh tell them one thing, love tells them a different thing, but their flesh is so strong and loud, they go the way of their flesh. And they'll wake up every day, and they'll have unforgiveness, they'll have bitterness, they'll be angry with someone, they'll get an opportunity at work to talk behind somebody's back, or to backbite, or to bash somebody, and they have a choice. I can go love's direction, which would tell me a completely different thing, or I can go what my mind and my feelings are telling me, which are shouting at me and having a pep rally telling me to go this way. And a lot of people go that way, and they wonder, where's the miracle power that this pastor's talking about? You need to check up on your love walk. Your faith is absolutely non-existent when you're walking out of love. It's the truth. So we need to be in love. And the main characteristic about this unconditional love, why it's so difficult, because people rarely get past their flesh and mind, is that it has nothing to do with how you feel. How do we know? Jesus' feelings were on display in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when Jesus, the night he was arrested, before he was going to be crucified, the next day, what did Jesus say? He was, his feelings started talking, didn't they? And Jesus said, Father, I don't want to do this. If we can get out of this, can we do something different? What? His feelings. But you know what put him on the cross and kept him on the cross? Agape love. Amen. He did something for the unlovable, not because they were loving him back, but because of, and remember what he said on the cross to the very people that put nails in his hands, crown of thorns on his head, beat him to a bloody pulp, spit on him, cursed at him, blasphemed him. What did he say? Father, forgive them. Do you think Jesus felt like going to the cross? Do you think Jesus' flesh felt like saying that? No. But Jesus didn't operate out of a feeling type of love. He operated out of the agape love, which is supernatural, which is not based on feeling at all. And that's why most people never get into a miracle flow. Oh, I'm just going to say that again. That's why most people in the body of Christ never experience miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because it's in the flow of love. And they refuse to get in the flow of love. They'd rather stay in the flow of grudge. They'd rather stay in the flow of talking behind people's back and bashing people and unforgiving, being in unforgiveness and in bitterness. Come on. And in strife. That's true. But you can't afford that. And we saw, you know, wow, that's tough, Pastor Mike, you know, because some of us have been wronged. Some of us have been challenged by people and they do awful things for us and it's like they're against us and it's like, how am I supposed to do this? But we saw that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's where I want to pick up today. So God shed that love in us. So we're going to pick up today in Galatians chapter 5 because the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the love has been shed abroad in our hearts, but we have to make sure that that love of God doesn't just stay in our hearts. That's not the purpose of it, to just stay in our hearts. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Praise God. Galatians 5 and verse 22. So he said, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. I want to show you how that happened. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So there's the Spirit, but then there's fruit of the Spirit. Now, the way that's easy to think about this is think about the Spirit being a fruit tree and the fruits of the Spirit being the fruit that comes from that tree. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that goes on and talks about different fruits, joy, peace, all those. But notice the very first one he mentions. It's the umbrella. Everything comes under love. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now here's what you have to understand, and this is what's going to help you today. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love was poured out to you at the new birth. When the Holy Ghost came to dwell on the inside of you and your spirit was reborn, and the Spirit came on the inside of you, God's Spirit came on the inside of you to indwell you, it came with some fruit. And one of the fruits that it came with is love. Now, here's what you have to understand, because what we're trying to do, I guess the way I want to put it is this way. It might seem impossible to walk in this God kind of love, but it's not impossible. It's supernatural. It's impossible naturally, because your feelings will never want to do it, and your mind will never want to do it. But what this sermon is meant for today is to help you to be able to actually start walking into that God kind of love. It's going to be the tools and the resources that you need in the most unlovable situations, in the most pressing and evil people coming against you and wrong things being said about you, to keep you in that place of love, to keep you in a place of victory. Amen. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. That was not a hard question, people. I'm worried about you. I know you're just shy, you don't want to say anything. The fruit of the apple is the apple tree. Now, I got a chance to work on, Jim and Sue's farm and the grapes and the cherries. And one thing I noticed is that work goes into that. To get a good harvest, work goes into tending to the vines. Work goes into tending to the trees. And, you know, I was just doing a little research on apple trees, you know, and then I'll tell you a personal story. But listen to apple tree care. Are you ready for apple tree care? If you don't get anything out of this, at least you'll know how to take care of your apple trees. So by properly, now listen, there's a reason I'm saying this, and I'll tell you at the end why I mentioned all this. By properly controlling insects and disease, fertilizing and regularly pruning the trees, you can enjoy the beauty of this fruit tree on your landscape for years. I'd be a good commercial voice, right? During that early spring and summer, fungicide applications are essential to prevent disease and produce healthy, high-quality fruit. Notice what it doesn't say. To get healthy, high-quality fruit, do absolutely nothing with the tree. Just expect the grapes and the cherries every year after year just to be wonderful. Well, I've learned the hard way that's not how it works. We bought our house in 2013 in March, and let me tell you something, in March and then spring came in summer, there were some blueberry bushes on the property. And Mrs. Anderson, who used to live there, we bought it from, no relation, she kept up on that property. I mean, she was detailed, one of these people that are so detailed that like halfway through, I can't follow you anymore. Like, it's too much for me. Can we stop and take a break? You know, and she's telling me how to take care of these trees. And that first year, you know, she had left and taken care of them all the way up to that first year, oh, the blueberries. So much that we were able to pick so many off those trees that we were able to make a pie out of them and have leftover and just eat them whenever we wanted. It was wonderful. And I just thought, this is the way it's going to be forever. Well, fast forward to 2020, and guess what our blueberry crop looked like this year? There was no fertilizing, there was no insecticide, whatever you do, no pruning, no nothing, and it's been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. Why? To get high quality fruit, there's care that has to go into it. Well, you've been given the fruit of the Spirit. You've been given the Spirit, and fruit is to come from that. But if you want to bring forth the fruit of love that is successful, victorious, and has miracle working power, you can't just do nothing about it. It's not possible to just let that fruit just sit there and to expect to cultivate a wonderful crop. It just doesn't happen that way. So I want to help you today to work, to grow in that love, to bring forth that fruit of love that you so desperately need in your life. Go with me to Matthew 5 and verse 43. So we already saw this. It's important you get this in your brain and in your heart, that this is a spiritual thing, that it's not a natural thing, because in your mind you think, Pastor Mike, you don't know what so-and-so has done to me, and you don't know what I've experienced, and you don't know what they're still doing to me, and yet you're asking me to walk in love, to be kind to them, to forgive them. Naturally, you can't do it. You'll fail. But this love was never even birthed from a natural place. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So there has to be tending or cultivation or upkeep in the spirit realm to bring the love forward. How is it possible for Jesus, who we know had feelings, who was asking to get out of the cross in the garden? We know when he's on the cross, he's thinking, get me off of here. I don't like this. This doesn't feel good. But yet what came out of him was love and forgiveness, not because it was naturally possible. When Jesus expressed naturally, what did he express? Get me out of here. I want to be done with this. And the natural realm will express anger and grudges and bitterness, and rightly so naturally. You might have every reason to be justified, to feel that way, to want to act that way. But the problem is, it's a trap. It'll lead you into what you don't want. And so I want to get this across to you, that this is not a natural thing. And we're going to see that it's not a natural thing by what Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 in verse 43. Now, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he says to them, you, so he's talking to an audience, have heard. Well, if they've heard, somebody told them something. Now, we know that when they heard whatever they heard it from a natural source. A human being, right? A person. He says, you have heard, so somebody's been telling you, or you could say it this way, the flow or the way of the natural in the world is that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, isn't that the natural flow of the world? When people don't like something, they lash out. When people have been wronged, they lash out. Why? That's what people are being taught. That's the flow of the world. Why? That's the flow of the devil. And planet Earth is being run by Satan. That's why it's a mess, people. But that's the flow of the world. That's the way most people are. They don't operate in this unconditional love. And Jesus said, you've heard it's that way. He says, but I say unto you. So remember now, he's saying the natural realm is telling you now, even though Jesus was manifested in their eyes in the natural realm, the words that he spoke to them, remember he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Even though it was coming in a manifestation from the natural realm, the source of his words were not natural. So the natural realm says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But Jesus said, I say unto you, the spirit realm says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now remember, before this, he said to the people, you've heard the way of the law of the land and the way of the natural flow of life is hate your enemies. Hate your enemies. But I'm telling you, there's a flow in the spirit realm that if I'm telling you to do this, will also enable you, empower you to be able to love your enemies, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, to pray for them which despitefully use you. But notice what he's saying. You can't get it from the natural realm. And then he went on to say that you may be the children of your Father, spiritual, which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? My point is this. He's telling you the way to walk in this love is to actually love your enemies. You can't do that naturally. Your brain's never going to want to, and your flesh is never going to want to. It's going to always be a battle. You can't bless them that persecute you from a natural realm place of feeling good about doing that. Who wants to spend money or go out of your way and inconvenience yourself for people that are nasty to you? Naturally, you can't do that. You can't do that. But he's saying, the natural realm tells you one way, but I'm telling you another thing. And the problem is, many people are dipping into the wrong place to try to get that love to work. They're dipping in the natural realm. What do I mean by dipping in the natural realm? That's where they spend their time. That's where they dwell. That's where they've made their living place, is natural. And then when hell on earth comes and opposition comes that requires love and requires victory, love doesn't flow out of them. The world flows out of them. Now, Pastor Scott was a good boy and listened to me when I told him, tell them about my dream about Michael Jordan. I had that dream about Michael Jordan, and I got to be his personal assistant, riding around, declining interviews that I didn't want him to do. It was pretty awesome. But I also had another dream that I told you I would tell you this week, but I had no intention of working this into the message. But as I was preparing, the Lord said, use this. Okay, I will. So people are expecting to walk in love. And Jesus just said, you can't do it from the natural realm. But people are planting their flag and dipping from the natural realm only, and there's no supernatural power. They're wondering, how can I do this? You'll never be able to do it living there. You're dipping from the wrong thing. Well, in my dream, I was the prime murder suspect. Now, you know, I've had some crazy dreams. You should have been with me in my dream last night. Oh, man, was this a movie roller coaster. The gist of the dream was arguing with a professor of whether or not people get hair on their toes. That was the gist of my dream last night, and on their feet. And he was demanding that that does not happen. And I called him out in front of the class and said, you lift up your pant leg right now. And let me see your socks. And he wouldn't do it. And then he got called out of the room, and then I left school. Pastor Katie was in the dream. Pastor Katie's sister was in the dream. Reverend Crystal Herman was in the dream. It was awesome. I mean, it was just wild. But that's not what I'm telling you. I want to tell you about my other dream that we're going to use here today. People are dipping from the wrong thing. I had a dream that I was the prime murder suspect, but I was innocent, and I knew I was innocent. And not to get too gruesome, you know, there was blood at the scene of the perpetrator and the victim, and I said, all you have to do, I knew my blood is not at the scene. And you know, all the crime shows that I've watched and movies, I know about DNA and blood evidence, that all you got to do, stick a needle in me and get some blood out and test it against that blood, and it's going to exonerate me. I didn't do it. I'm trying to tell them, just take my blood, but this police force, this investigation unit did not use blood. They used earwax. And so they were trying to draw earwax out of my ear, and they couldn't get enough earwax out. And they were putting all sorts of fluids in my ear. And I remember in the dream, it was tickling so bad, you know, because And they were tipping me sideways, and they kept like trying to shake it. Come out, come out. Yeah, it's a true. That's a true story. That's what happened in my dream. And not enough was coming out, and it wasn't suffice for their test. So I woke up, still the prime murder suspect. But the problem was in the dream, they're dipping from the wrong thing. And it was causing me problems, and so many people are dipping from the wrong thing, and it's causing them problems. You can't dip from the natural realm and expect to walk in this supernatural love. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible to love your enemies naturally. It's impossible to forgive those that are so nasty and continue to be so nasty to you, but yet it's required for your miracle. Wow. Go to 1 John 4:16. Are you ready for your help? Yes. Amen. How can we do this, Pastor Mike? Oh, it's possible. It is possible. 1 John 4:16. It's too bad they couldn't hook me up to a machine when I sleep. And everything I dream would be portrayed. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, please don't show anyone my dreams. No, I want you to see them all. Because you guys would pull up, you'd grab a bowl of popcorn and you would be entertained for hours. 1 John 4:16. Now here we go. So this love is required. It's not natural. So we got to dip from the spiritual realm. Here's your help right now. How are we going to do this, Pastor Mike? Here it is. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us or towards us. God is love. So remember this, God is love. That's that word agape love. Now notice what it says here. And he that dwelleth. What's dwelleth mean? To be located. To spend time there, right? He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Well, why is it that he that dwells in love dwells in God? They're interchangeable because God is love. So you could say it this way. If I dwell in God, I'm also dwelling in love because God is love. But if I also dwell in love, I'm still dwelling in God because God is love. So he says here that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So you change it out either way. If I dwell in love, I'm in God. If I'm in God, if I dwell with God, I'm going to be in that place of love. Verse 17 is our answer. Herein. Everybody say herein. Herein. Well, herein where? He just got done telling us. If you dwell in love, you dwell in God. If you dwell in God, you dwell in love. He says, herein, here's your help, people, is our love made perfect. What is it that, what makes our love perfect? If we dwell in God, the result will be we are dwelling in love. To dwell in God means to be in his presence. What's that mean? Not natural. God is a spirit. Herein is our love made perfect. Where? Dwelling in God. Nobody that spends time with God comes out bitter. Moses spent some time with God and came out changed like God. Nobody that spends time with God comes out holding a grudge. Nobody that spends time with God comes out with nasty thoughts about somebody. It's not possible, because if you dwell in God, you also will dwell in love. Herein is your love made perfect. How do I make my love perfect? It's a simple answer. Dwell in him. That's it. That's it. But see, most people aren't dwelling in him. Most people are dwelling in their jobs. Most people are just dwelling in their recreation. Most people are just dwelling in the television. It's natural, 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 natural. And the natural realm is nothing but carnality. It's no. And then when love is required to come forth as a fruit to use to power your faith, it's non-existent. Why? The natural's been dwelled too much. You've been dipping from the wrong thing. Just take my blood. Stop with this earwax business. Leave my earwax alone. And so, I love it what it says in the Amplified of verse 17, herein our love is made perfect. In this union and communication with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. Where is love brought to completion and perfection? In this union and communication with Him. So I'm going to tell you two things as we close here this morning. If you want to walk in love, I'll tell you how to do it right here. And the interesting thing is that two of the three are two-thirds of the PMA, the Pastor Mike Anderson, guidelines. Remember the PMA guidelines? The beginning of the quarantine, what did I tell you? Do three things every day. Your life will change, and your life will stay in a place of victory and faith, which was what? Pray, be in the Word, and praise every day. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, most people don't do those three things every day, even though their pastor stood up and shouted at them, and do this, do this. And then they wonder why they're frustrated, and then they wonder where... Listen, you have a part to play. God is not your vending machine. Things just fall on me, you know. You have a part to play. Praise God. And if you want to walk in love, you have a part to play. You have to cultivate that fruit. So I'm going to tell you how to do it. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Now the first one is spending time in His Word. Say, we've heard you preach that before. I know, but maybe you should start doing it every day. But second of all, this is a revelation I got yesterday that I've never seen before that will help you with this. You might have seen it, but I haven't. It says in John chapter 10, in verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. We've talked about that verse, about the abundant life that God has offered us, right, through Jesus. But when we talk about that abundant life, usually we come from the angle of what abundant life offers us. And that's right and well, because God has offered us. But what do we talk about the abundant life? We talk about prosperity. We talk about healing. We talk about victory. We talk about joy. We talk about favor. We talk about deliverance. Those are all included. Or you could say it this way, heaven on earth. But also the abundant life, that word life in the Greek is the word zoe. It also means the life that God enjoys, or the life of God, or the life that God enjoys. So now think about this as we go forward in this. The God kind of life, that's the easiest way to put abundant life. It's the God kind of life. Well, what's the God kind of life? Healing. What's the God kind of life? Provision. What's the God kind of life? Peace. What's the God kind of life? Joy. But one thing you can't separate from the God kind of life is love. Why? The kind of life that God is living, He is love. So yes, the God kind of life is abundance, prosperity, peace, joy, healing, victory, favor, all those things. But the God kind of life is also love that we can't live without. So remember that now and go with me to Matthew 4 and verse 4. It'll start clicking with you here. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now remember, when Jesus said man shall not live by bread alone, that word live is not the word for a heartbeat or breath naturally being alive. It's the same word life that's found in John 10:10, which translates what? Zoe, or the abundant God kind of life. Well, what's part of the God kind of life? All those blessings plus love. Jesus said here, man shall not live by bread alone. It's talking about man shall not obtain the God kind of life by bread alone, but they can attain it by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's Jesus saying to you here? Just like I've told you many times. You can't, now remember, because faith, for our faith to work, you have to have the Word there, right? You can't separate faith and the Word, because the Word is what gives birth to faith, right? And then love powers it. So we say, you can't have abundant life. You can't have healing. You can't believe for healing and prosperity and all those things without the Word of God, because the Word is how your faith grows. And He says you can't have that. Naturally, you got to do it by the Word. Well, in the same way, to walk in this abundant life, you can't pull from a natural source. It's naturally impossible. But Jesus said you can live like God lives, which is a life of love always and victory and power always, not by natural realms, but if you'll feed on my word, it will translate to living like God lives, which is love. Just like you can't separate faith from the word, you can't separate walking in love from a steady diet of feeding on the word. Because you have to form and cultivate it somehow. What's the first way you cultivate this love fruit? You water it with the word. You water it with the word. You water it with the word. And it's supernatural. And it enables you then to bring forth that fruit. And then when opposition's trying to get you out of love and into your defeat, that love is cultivated and love comes forth and keeps you in your victory. Real quick, Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. Praise God. Excuse me. This is just your answers. I know, hell on earth, people coming against you, people doing things. Awful things have happened to people in their past. Awful, unspeakable things. I get it. But Jesus says to forgive. Jesus says to walk in love. Jesus says, take no thought about them. Don't think wrong things about them. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just your words and your actions that the Lord can see. Well, I'm just going to sit there and think bad of them. Oh, because he can't touch your thoughts? It's not okay to sit there and think bad, to plot and scheme and to wish things. No, it's not, you're walking out of love. Your faith's not working. That's why I said, if we were going to look at a lot of people's lives, oh, they have the confession down. Oh, they're serving in the church and they're going through the motions. But let's reduce it down. Are you really walking in love? Are your thoughts in line with love? Are your actions really in line with love? Are your words in line with love? Because if they're not, your faith is kaput. Yeah.
So good.
Good
word. So good.
It is. It's over. It's gone. So we have to ask ourselves, am I really in love? Yeah, I do believe that in faith, and I have confession down. But am I really in love? And I'll tell you a lot of times, I'll tell you one example. Someone tell me the word doesn't work. And in the same breath, can bash people, talk bad about people, hold grudges. Your words ain't ever going to work. Stop believing for miracles if you're walking out of love. There's no miracle flow. Praise God. And so Jesus said the word can cause it to be possible to walk in love. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love the word. Well, when you love the word, you're spending time with the word. You're feeding on the word, right? It says, great peace have they which love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend there is the word stumble. How many of you know unforgiveness is a stumbling block? Strife is a stumbling block. There's lots of things that are stumbling blocks, but these are included. Bitterness and grudges and talking behind people's back and being a gossiper, they're stumbling blocks. But the Bible says, if you love the word, then forgiveness won't cause you to stumble. Why? Because Jesus said, when you love the word and feed on the word, abundant life or the God kind of life is possible, and unforgiveness isn't an option for God. Grudges and bitterness and hate and deceit and lies and cheating and manipulation and all those things that are out of love try to put you in front of someone else. It's not possible with God. But if you love the word, abundant life can come forth, which is the love of God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it really makes Joshua 1 and verse 8 so much clearer to me. Meditate on the word day and night, day and night, day and night. Why? The result is prosperity and good success. Think of all the things that come from just spending time in his word. But yet, for some reason, our TV shows are more important. For some reason, our hobbies are more important. Well, they don't lead to abundant life. I'm not saying TV's bad. I'm not saying hobbies are bad. But man, if there's no place for a diet of the word. So number one, time in his word. Ready for number two?
Amen.
Go to, and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this, besides Jesus, probably nobody that did more on planet Earth than Jesus, than the Apostle Paul is right behind him. I'd even put the Apostle Paul above the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, they are in a category of their own, and they have their own place in heaven as the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But Paul is spoken about more. We see more of Paul. He had more influence in our lives now than Peter did, than James did. And they have influence. Don't misunderstand me. And they left us things too that the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost saw it fit to have Paul be the main writer of the New Testament. To be used like he was and start these churches. And he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now look at this. Now a lot of places will say he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is nuts. He that speaketh in unknown tongues is crazy. Oh, I've had people that I've tried to minister to that are going through hell on earth. Hell on earth. They're still going through hell on earth. In fact, I had a conversation the other day with somebody. Still going through hell on earth. Hell, I mean, literally hell on earth. And I tell them, plant in my church for 6 months and watch your life change. Yes. Yeah. Be faithful. When I say plant, that doesn't mean you show up once every three. No, no, you want change in your life? Plant, hear the word, let the word work on you, and watch what's going to happen. Yeah. Amen. It's just the truth. The word does that to people. Refuse to do it. Refuse to do it. I keep having the same conversation. Well, find out from someone else. You know the main reason they don't come to this church? Because we are tongue talkers. Because why? They think that he that speaketh in his own tongue is crazy. He that speaketh in his own tongue is nuts. He that speaketh in his own tongue is off. But the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edify means to charge or to build oneself up. Now, if you're here this morning, because everybody comes from different places, and you don't know about speaking in tongues, well, let me tell you something. You better not stay in the unknown category. My people are destroyed for what they don't know, the Bible says. Jesus said people are in bondage because they don't know the truth. Well, Paul said here, there's a charging, there's a building up, there's an edifying available to the believer that only comes through speaking in tongues. So what am I telling you? If you choose to live a life of not speaking in tongues and not finding out what this is about and receiving the gift that God's given you because of whatever stereotype you have, because of whatever wrong church service you went to and they turned you off of it, or whatever someone's telling you it's not true, you will go without an edification and a building up and a charging up that can only come from praying in tongues. Now I'm going to show you why this matters when it comes to love. First of all, we see here we're being built up. When somebody's built up or made stronger, you think about a boxing match or a MMA match or a wrestling match, they step into the ring, what? As built up and as strong as they've ever been for that fight. Why? They know opposition's going to come to try to push back on them and knock them out, and they can't step in the ring weak. Well, every day you wake up, there's opposition that's trying to knock you out. In the form of Satan and his cohorts and the influence that he does with people. An unedified person, to get somebody to walk out of love, all Satan's got to do is speak in somebody's ear, to have somebody start talking bad about you, and then you hear it and you fly off the handle because all it took was one little flick because you're not built up. And then you fly off the handle, start cussing them out and talking bad about them. Road rage. All someone has to do to the unedified person is cut them off in traffic, and bam, the fruit of love doesn't come out. It's true. You think Jesus would struggle with road rage? No. Think God struggles with flying off the handle? Nope. Think God struggles with holding grudges? No. The whole world was against him, and God said, I love him so much. Why? He's full of love. So the Bible says there's edification or building up. Well, to stay in love, you better be edified and built up, because almost every day something's going to challenge your love walk. Whether it's a thought that comes in your head that you have a choice to do what? Well, you can either sit there and think on it or get rid of it. Whether it's an action by a coworker, a spouse, a family member, driving to work. There's so many things that are going to test your love walk on a daily basis. You better be edified. Now, so he says there's an edification here. Go with me to Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude, last book of the Bible before Revelation. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. Say, Pastor Mike, I don't know what you're talking about tongues. That doesn't make sense. You better find out. Yeah. Say, how do I find out? Well, that's what you have a pastor for. Amen. But so many people, you know what they do with things they don't understand? Leave it off to the side. I don't want to know about that. Come on. You know, now I'm learning how to fish and things. And you know the number one reason I stayed away from fishing? The only reason I stay away from fishing is because setting up a pole and spooling a line on the reel and learning how to tie lures intimidated me. And for so long, I didn't know how to do it. And so I never went down the path of learning how because it just intimidated me. I just don't even want to mess with that. Don't even want to mess with that. And for years, it kept me from doing something that I'm just starting to do now with my father-in-law and my kids and our family. We just love it. We just love it. Well, what kept me out of it? Ignorance. There's a life that the Holy Ghost has given us and God has given us through speaking in tongues that most people will never know why. They're afraid of it. They don't understand it, so they stay away from it. Because usually our flesh, what we don't understand, we don't like. But here Paul is telling you. So remember, he says you'll be edified. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, look what it says. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Doesn't that sound like edifying? Yes. Yeah, building up, charging up. How? On your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What's praying in the Holy Ghost? Praying in tongues. When I pray before church and I'm praying and playing the guitar, you know, Lord, thank you, and we're believing for miracles, signs, wonders, that's not praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, it's spirit motivated, but I'm actually the act of praying in the natural. How? Because you can hear me and understand me. Praying in the spirit is not natural. When you pray in the spirit, you pray in tongues, and the natural man, the Bible says, can't comprehend it. That's why people are freaked out by it, because they hear it and their natural man says, say what? What are you talking about, Willis? What the heck is he saying, you know? But your natural man, it's not to be comprehended by the natural. It's a spiritual language meant to be comprehended by the spirit of man. And he says here, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But notice after the word ghost there, there's a comma. That means he's not done speaking this thought yet. Praying in the Holy Ghost, look at the result is in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Guard, by praying in tongues, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. The Message really brings it forth. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. You know what I found? That people that get into offense and start getting bitter, start getting mad, start getting angry, start complaining, start talking bad about people. I'll ask people. I had a situation not too long ago where I was able to sit down with some people that were going back and forth. And I said to them, I said, I have to know. I'm curious. How much time are you spending in the Word in prayer? And of course, sheepishly they say to me, not at all. It shows. Because you can't walk in the love that's required to stop that bickering without the Word. Abundant life's not possible without the Word. And praying in tongues, or staying in the love, he told you how to do it. Praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Why? There's the edification and building up that keeps you there. You know, one thing I'm learning with fishing and boating and just different things, my father-in-law and trolling motors and things, is they make this new trolling motor, and his friend's name is Layman, and this is how serious this guy is about fishing. He sent my father-in-law a video one time. He was on a lake bass fishing by himself. He's an older gentleman, retired, and he said, hey, Scott, just wanted to show you, I brought a few poles with me today, and he zoomed around his whole boat, and he had 22 different fishing poles set up with each one with different baits and different rig. If that's not working, grab another one, try a different. So the guy's serious about fishing, and he was telling him about a new trolling motor that's out there that has a feature called Spot Lock on it. Now, what Spot Lock is it allows you to troll along, to put the troll motor in the front of the boat, an electric trolling motor that allows you to cover ground, to cover different areas. But when you catch a fish, or if you find a spot all of a sudden where there's a big school of fish and you want to fish there, you know, you don't have to take the time. Or say you found a big, how many of you know this, that if you just put a boat out in the water with no anchor or anything, the wind and the drift, you're going to drift away. Well, if you find a hot spot, fishing-wise, you see it on your depth finder and the fish are there, and you start casting, you want to fish there, and you catch one, well, you got to take time to take the fish off. Well, in the time you're taking the fish off and messing around with your hook and your lure and your pole, your boat doesn't just stay in one spot. Well, they have things called anchors. But anchors can be a pain in the butt for a fisherman because you have to throw the anchor out, let the line down. And then if you want to move, take it back up. It's just time consuming. So this Minn Kota company came up with this technology called Spot Lock. And what Spot Lock does on that trolling motor, it's got a little anchor button on it. And all you have to do is when you want to stay in the same spot, you hit Spot Lock and the motor starts doing something and it keeps you within a 5-foot radius. No matter what the waves are doing, no matter what the wind's doing, trying to pull you out, you're staying put. What did he say about speaking in tongues? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Praying in tongues is the anchor of your love walk. When offense tries to pull you and the waves of offense and the wind of hurt and talking bad and unforgiveness tries to get you to drift off into that, praying in the Holy Ghost anchors you. Just like press that button, Spot Lock. Don't care what the wind's doing. Don't care what the waves are doing. Don't care about the tide. Doesn't matter. Spot Lock has me there. Praying in tongues will have you there. I dare you to try it in a trying situation, whether it's a boss, a coworker, a family member. Take time to pray in tongues before. Watch how your reactions are different. Watch how your day, I would dare you to wake up early in the morning, pray a half hour in tongues, and watch how your drive to work and get to work is different. Why? You got the supernatural flowing in your life. Amen. It's just the truth. Yes. I just solved all your problems, right? I just solved all your problems in one service. How to be in love, be in the Word, pray in tongues. Praise God. I'm excited. Glory to God. Well, we'll go forward with this. Next week, the Lord has put on my heart something special to talk about at our 10-year, so we will probably hold off. I will be preaching part 4 in Allegheny, but we'll be picking part 4 back up here again the following week. But we're going forward into some of these things because also we need to look at, in the direction we're going, we need to look at specific things because some people think that strife is okay because it's just been a part of their life. Some people think unforgiveness, it's just normal. Some people think that you know, you just gossip and you do. These things have to be, we have to renew our mind to specifics that are not okay. Amen? Amen? To keep our love. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, you're helping us. You're helping us to grow. You're helping us to increase. You're helping us to walk in everything that you have for us. Thank you for your mercy. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody in this service, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, please, please, nobody looking around for everybody else's sake. But ask yourself this question right now. If today were my last day on planet Earth, and this goes for the people that are watching online right now, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, and you say, well, that's kind of a grim thought, you know. Well, we don't expect it to be. But how many of you know people are dying every day? Every day people didn't expect that to be that day, you know. And for the Christian, for me, that death doesn't bother me. I'm not afraid of it. It's actually my reward. It's actually my promotion. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you eternal life. And God says, I don't want you to perish, but I want you to have everlasting life. But if you ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know for sure that I go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, I don't wonder if I'll go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. And you say, Pastor Mike, how can you be so sure about something like that? Because I did what the Bible said to do. God said, heaven is mine. And then he said, here's how you get it. He's not hiding it from me. He's not making it hard for me. He's making it easy because he wants it for me and he wants it for you. So if you're here this morning and you can say to yourself, you know, I'm not 100% sure I would go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven, but I don't know. I'm not sure how to get there. I'm not sure what it takes. I don't know if I've been good enough. I don't know if I've gone to church enough. Let me clear it all up for you. It has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with how good or bad you've been. It has nothing to do with how generous or cheap you've been. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. The Bible says that if you'll believe and receive Jesus, heaven is yours. That's it. It doesn't say anything about church. Doesn't say anything about good deeds outweighing your bad. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I promise you, I won't embarrass anybody in this service. I won't have you stand up, I won't have you come forward, and I won't have you say anything on your own. But if you can say in your heart of hearts, you know what? I do believe in Jesus. I can't figure all this out, and I don't understand everything. But in my heart of hearts, I do believe he's real. And you could also say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Don't let another moment go by that you don't receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you've never received Jesus in your life, but you want to and want to go to heaven again, it's not about, you don't ever have to step foot in this church again. And you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. Is there anybody at all that wants to receive the Lord for the very first time? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Again, this is, we're not trying to embarrass anybody or have anybody stand out, you know. And there might be people here that are just shy to raise their hand. And that's okay. Raising your hand doesn't get you saved. And if you're online, I can't see your hand. So it's not about that. Jesus didn't say if you raise your hand in church, you're saved. No, he said, if you'll believe on me. So for that person that raised their hand or those people that maybe didn't, that were shy, or those that are online, this is your special day. God wants to save you. He loves you so much. And by receiving him, two things happen. You gain eternity in heaven, but also he becomes a father unto you. And let me tell you something. He's a good dad. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to ask him into your heart. But I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. You're not going to say anything on your own. I'm going to lead you in a prayer with everybody else in the church. And the context of that prayer, the contents of that prayer are going to be declaring your belief in him and asking him into your life. He's a gentleman. He doesn't knock the door down like the SWAT team. He wants you to ask him into your life. And so with heads bowed, eyes closed, for that person that raised their hand, for those that wanted to raise their hand that didn't, for those that are online, along with everybody else in the church, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can look up me. For those that prayed that for the first time online here, that you prayed that and meant that for the first time, just let me give you some instruction. You don't have to ever go to church to go to heaven, but you can't learn everything that you need to know to walk in success and victory on your own. So I encourage you from this place, find a pastor that teaches the Bible, plant in that church, and start hearing the Word and doing the Word. I would love to be your pastor. If you're watching online, you live in the area, I'd love to be your pastor and help you. But God's got a good plan for you. Amen. And if you can't be in this church, we'll help you find a church that teaches and preaches the Word. And until then, we encourage you to follow along online and receive all that God has for you. Amen. Well, real quick, we're going to take up our offering since we're doing it at the end of service. We won't take long. Go to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. Of course, today is our building fund offering. And I want to talk to you just real quick as we give our offerings, as we head out the door. I won't preach a second sermon here, but let me just mention this. Today is the designated day that we take up our building fund. How many of you know this shouldn't catch any of you off guard? We do it every single month as an offering for this building. You know, we have to have the right attitude. We love the plan of God, and we love the house of God, but we have a part to play in God's house. And I want to read to you about David here real quick. I always like to bring this up in the building fund, and I want to point something out specific. But one thing you need to know is God said about David, this man has the right heart. That's what he said about David. He said, David had a heart like me, is God saying. God's saying, his heart beats to the heart of my heartbeat. Praise God. Or beats to the beat of my heartbeat. And so in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1, furthermore, David, this guy that had a heart after God, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Now look at what he says. For the palace is not for man, but for God. He didn't call it a building. He didn't just have an attitude of just ho-hum. He said, it's a palace. Amen. Praise God. And look what he said. He said, now I have prepared. And he goes on and talks about things that I have prepared. But then in verse 3, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. What did he say? I'm in love with the church. Why? It's God's home. It's where God's presence. It's where we come and learn. That's why I want those testimonies, because people need to be thankful for this place. Those testimonies have nothing to do with Mike Anderson, the man. God did your miracles. I was a vessel used in your life, but it was God that healed your body. It was God that changed your life. And it was God's idea to put a church right in your backyard. Praise God. That would teach you the Bible. And so David says, I love the house of God, and we ought to love this house. But look what he says. I have my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have. Now, this is the word I want you to see. I have prepared for the holy house. Amen. David didn't just say, well, whatever's left at the end of the month, I'll just throw it in the plate for God's building. David's heart after God, and David was blessed, by the way, didn't just say, well, whatever I can do, last minute, let's throw something together. Oh, it's building fund. No. David said, I'm preparing. I've been preparing. Every month, you have an opportunity at the beginning of the month to start thinking about the palace that God's put in your life. What am I going to bring? What can I do to prepare for the house of my God? And if you love the house of your God, you'll do like David. And it won't just be, oh, what can I skimp together last minute? I want you, if this is the month you did that, I want September building fund to be different for every single one of us. I want us right now to be thinking, the palace needs finances. The upkeep, the maintenance, the payment, it's not free, right? The palace, just like David's, the church there, David, they needed God's people to be a blessing. So I want us to have a new attitude going forth in the building fund to know every month we do this, the house of God needs it. I want to do this on purpose. What do you want me to give, Lord? What can I start preparing? Do you need me to believe for money? Do you need me to make adjustments? Do you need me to whatever? But let's be like David and have that kind. That's a heart that God can use. Praise God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow into the palace this morning. Father, we are blessed. We thank you for this church. We're so excited that you put it here for us, that we can learn and grow into everything that you have for us, Father. We call this place debt-free. We call this place fully funded and fully supplied. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your week. We love you and appreciate you. You are dismissed.